That's all that matters.
Hey, it's that wind's huffing it pretty good over here right now.
Yeah.
We're 17 miles an hour northeast, northeast. But, buddy, it blew all day yesterday. I mean it. I could tell the people were tired of leftovers by looking at the boat ramp. There was no less than 25 trucks over at the boat ramp yesterday.
Really?
No matter how
people out, it's crazy.
It is. You're not going to keep them home. They're just, like I said, they're done with leftovers or something, buddy. But they are definitely out on the water. Many a boat down here yesterday. But anyway, Friday I finally got around to finishing my trolling motor. And the only reason it took me so long is because it took a couple of us. I had to get my wife to help me. You can't get your big old body or my big old body underneath the little bitty access underneath the front of the bow of that Carolina skiff. There's just no way to get up under the bow. So I had to make me a tool to reach the quarter 20s that I mounted with stainless steel quarter 20s with flat washers and lock nuts.
Yeah, you had to make something to hold back up on them while you tighten the screws down.
You know what? I had to have a little
bit. Been there and done that,
little,
man.
I rigged me the perfect tool out of a half-inch piece of PVC, and I taped a 7/16 boxed-in wrench on the end of it and taped it up real good. And then I put the little nut with a plastic lock insert, you know what I mean? Locks, but
yeah,
anyway,
lock
nuts. And I taped it on there with a flat washer. And then I would lean up under there and tell Melinda when to start screwing. Hey, we did it, man. I mean, it was just like I done it the last time. And I've had that tool underneath the bow of my boat since the last time I mounted a trolling motor on there. So, but I'm just happy as I could be, man. I mean, got it on there, put a cord cap on the end of it, a twist lock cord cap, and I'm ready to go. I mean, it's just that time of year, and trolling motors really come in handy this time of year for me anyway. But
There's no way I could fish without one these days.
I don't believe so. Not myself. But I was able to, after I got that done, I took my truck. They called me and told me that the parts were coming in on Friday and they would be getting after it on Monday to start putting it back together. But I got a new radiator and I think a condenser and I don't know what all else, how much of the front end that they're going to replace and maybe a bumper, you know, and this and that. But I should get my truck back sometime this week anyway. And so... Looking forward to that, and just to where I can have it around here. My wife didn't have a 2-inch ball on the back of her little Hyundai Santa Fe. If I could get a ball put on the back of it, I probably would, man. But no fishing reports. I know if you're a bull red fisherman, they're getting them down by San Luis Pass. I've heard some stories, and the Freeport jetties is always a good place if you're looking for the big old 3-4 foot long redfish, you know what I mean? If you want a 40-pounder or a 30-pounder, bull reds are prowling that surf. So get you some finger mullet or cut squid or whatever. I don't know. I don't think those fish are very picky, bull reds anyway. North wind most of the day, like I said, 15 to 20 mile an hour all day. So our bay is kind of twisted and turned upside down, if you will. The condition of the water is real sandy. You know, if you're using live bait underneath the popping cork, just get after that popping cork and get down with it, buddy. Just use it. Get your money's worth out of it. You ain't rattling it. I tell them, man, you're not going to get your money's worth. You gotta really work that cork. And they have some pretty shrimp, and they're still getting them. A white shrimp aren't gone completely out of the bays. You know, our water temperature, it's getting on down there, and it's a slow process, and that migration of those white shrimp getting out of here is a part of the fun of the Tri-Bay area, because you can follow the birds across Christmas Bay or get back in Bastrop Bay or over in Chocolate Bay, and And they're just birds working everywhere right now. Now, it might be gap topping, it might be sand trout, and there ain't a bit of telling what it is, but it's some rapid fire action. Once you do get them, if you do find you a nice flock of birds and just right, you might get you some good trout and reds underneath them, because I've done it. I've been there. But hey, man, I got a question for you. I had a whole bunch of little extra crabs, and we sit down and we ate as many as we could last night, and then we peeled the rest of them, Captain Mickey. Now, what would be a good dish for a big old bowl full of crab meat? Come on, man.
I know you can flounder.
Huh?
A stuffed flounder?
Well,
if you
maybe
keep one right now.
October 14th, everybody, is the day. I know, December 14th. This
well, it's December 14th at midnight. Just, you know, you can call that 15th. It's 15th.
But be careful and don't keep any. And I've even talked to a couple of my friends, and they just don't fish enough to know and keep up with the laws and the rules and the regulations. But no, zero flounder until the 14th of December.
15th. So, midnight, 14th.
15th, four, it says 14th, but anyway. So whatever it is, don't do it and don't keep them. Man, I looked in, I was at the fish market the other day when I went to pick up those shrimp to go with the crabs, and you should have seen these big old flounder they had in there, and all of them got gig holes in them. Gigging spear holes in them, but man, they got some big old flounder in those markets. I wish I could. I used to catch them like that routinely. We would go after them. We would target them, and I would use strictly finger mullet or either mud minnows, and I knew where the drop-offs were, and we could go down to the Coast Guard station where they parked their big old frigates, and where they had that boat launch, we would throw. We'd wade down there on the Intercoastal Canal where it comes in at the Freeport jetties, Captain Mickey, and they wouldn't holler at us. We'd keep our distance, you know. Of course, we didn't want to mess with the Coast Guard, but we would catch flounder right underneath their boat where they backed into the slip. It always kept a big old washout. And, buddy, all you had to do is chunk that mudman or a finger mullet underneath there and drag it real slow, and thump, you'd get you a bird. And we used to catch a living dog out of flounder down there at the base of the Surfside jetties where the old Coast Guard station used to be. They're still down there, but they got a new place now. And I haven't fished around it anywhere. But anyway, water temperature, I couldn't tell you because I haven't been out there. Mid-60s probably, huh?
What, water temp?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's from like 60 to 64. Farther up north in the bay system you go, the warmer it gets. 64 up
cooling
top.
On down. Cooling on down. Lots of fun stuff.
And people need to remember, too, with this flounder limit, it's going to go to 15-inch minimum, too, when it opens back up on the 15th.
Well, there you go. I'll remind all my folks.
One more inch.
Yes, sir. Yeah, give them a chance, man. Shoot. Those are... spawning son of a guns, man. I can't tell you how many of them I caught with big old egg sacks in them. And I said, well, I wish I would have let you didn't keep this one. You know what I mean? You want to get as many babies as you can. But
those eggs don't hatch too good when you clean them out of a fish and throw them in the water. They're pretty much done. I wish it worked like that, but it doesn't.
They're pretty much done, man. We didn't get a quarter of an inch out of all that stuff yesterday. We didn't just barely, just
was
light,
it just
light
mostly
rain.
Light drizzle all day. That's the way it was.
Real
at my house.
Light drizzle.
Yeah, just
yes,
nasty
sir.
Weather. Put but, your hood up and keep chunking, man.
Yes, sir. But that's about all I got for you this morning, Captain Mickey. Kind of slow
right,
down
Hammer.
Here on the tri bay.
Well, you stay out of trouble, and I'll talk to you next week if the creeks
yes,
don't
sir.
Rise and or any of that. So,
all right.
Throw them out a number, Hammer.
Yes, sir. They can always reach me at 713-208-0683. Happy fun Sunday, everybody. Y'all have a great one.
You too, Hammer.
You.
See you, bud.
Okay.
All right, take care. All right, that's Glenn, Captain Glenn Hammond down in the Tri-Bay area.
Wearing your black dress, red shoes, makeup, perfume and diamonds.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 415 in the Bayou City. All right. Let's head down the coast. Let's go check in with Captain Bink Grimes this morning, Matagorda Sunrise Lodge. See what he's headed to the duck blind intending to do this morning. I know what he's intending to do. Let's see if he's going to do it. Bink, what's up, man?
Yeah, one more day.
Yeah.
Take a few off.
Yep. The split begins.
Split begins. It wasn't a bad one. First 23 days wasn't too shabby.
It was good for some, bad for few, you know, that kind of deal. That's typical duck season, though.
It is. I've heard a lot of bad stories. I've just heard a lot of worst first split I've ever had stories. You know.
Me too.
I have.
It's crazy.
I've never heard that. Yeah, I really have. And man, I guess we're blessed pretty good. It was good. Still is.
Well, y'all got all the groceries down that way, that middle coast.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the best agriculture on our coast right now.
Yeah, when I was picking up decoys yesterday, you know, all that food is all over your decoy weights. And I'm just looking and saying, man, I just don't know if they could eat us all out, you know, by the end of January. I mean, in years past, I would say, man, they'll probably have all this eaten out by mid-December. But, man, I'm telling you, we have got some groceries.
Yep.
I mean, we caught fresh water at the right time in May, and it really really freshened that marsh. And, man, I tell you what, the widgeon grass grew. And, man, you just can't drive them out there right now. It's just really, really – really good. And we've, you know, it's been a kind of an extension of teal season. We've shot a lot of teal, a lot of blue wings and a lot of green wings and love to do that. And on our days with wind, which I can count the number of days on my hand. So the first 23 days on one hand that we've had a duck killing wind, you know, and,
right.
On those days we're shooting our gadwalls, in the days that it's calm, less than 5 knots, we're killing mostly teal. So gadwalls are wary. You need wind. They'll be decoy shy off live birds. You'll watch them go in on a big old raft of birds and they pull up, you know, what they see, you know, and they're right over the top of wads of gadwall. It's just depend, you know, they get kind of wary on you when there's a lot of shine on the water, when there's a gray liner like yesterday.
Especially with a gray liner and calm winds, man, that's tough to get them in. It really
yesterday
is.
We got our birds yesterday, but it was a little tougher. It took us a little longer because that's what we had, man. We had winds less than 5 knots and a gray liner and mist and rain. And people call that duck weather. And if you've ever hunted, that's not duck weather.
Due to web feet, you need them to walk around in it. As far as prime duck hunting, no, I would say foul.
That's exactly right. And so, I mean, they really didn't want to decoy early. And it wasn't because, they were seeing us and all that. Cause I mean, we would have birds come through, that about knocked our heads off, you know, that we couldn't see early that never saw
right.
us. And, but it's just gray liner days, man. It's the same with fishing. You know, I do not like them. That's what we had yesterday, and we made it through it and did really well, but it just took us a little longer to do it yesterday. So,
yeah, I've been hearing good shoots on, you know, a lot of teal, but the bigger ducks, it's been a little, you know, especially over on my side, it's been a little stale.
It has.
One day chickens and next day feathers. It's been just kind of up and down, a roller coaster. for a lot of the good holes over my way that normally produce day in and day out. It's been a little sketchy.
That's right. I ran a fishing trip in the afternoon. I guess it was Sunday or Monday, and man, there were rafts and rafts of bluebills in East Matagorda Bay, which we don't hunt the bay. We were hunting private stuff, but when you see big rafts of divers like that, we haven't seen those in East Bay in a long, long time.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of grass on our shorelines, and that's what those suckers are in there eating. But man, we saw rafts and rafts. I'm thinking, oh man, maybe we got a little, you know, when you see a lot of ducks on the bay, you around here, it's kind of a barometer. You know, you've got a lot of ducks on the high ground and in the marshes. And so it was kind of, we were kind of glad to see that, but I really didn't see a bigger push of big ducks after that, after these two fronts. We're holding a nice group of, gadwall, but just not terribly big amounts of them. And I tell you what really shows you that all your ducks aren't here yet. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of spoonies, and that's, that's a staple, that's a staple. and when you don't have a whole lot of spoonies, I don't really, I don't think your big concentration of ducks are here. And, if you're hearing that on that side, on the east side, we've all got, hundreds of buddies that do this for a living. And man, it's just, when they're not here, they're not here. I just don't think the big push is here. So the second split.
That's right. You can't kill them if they're not here, just like fish. No. If they're not there, you can't catch them, man. I mean,
I've got some really good friends in Arkansas that's got just primed rice and timber stuff. And man, they are crying the blues up there right
now. Yeah, I've been hearing a lot of that. I know guys that went up and hunted all that stuff from Missouri up early in the year when they get to hunt before us. And they were crying the blues, man. They were shooting mostly teal, very few mallards, and that's what they go up there for, is the big mallard shoots,
Yeah. I'm never going to throw stones at teal, I promise you.
No, because, I never will either. My favorite eating duck anyway.
And our teal hunting has been so, so good, and it's just fun. And so we're very blessed to have the number of teal that we have, and so it's kind of been a it
well,
really
teal
has been
do
a
it right, man. They're the first ones here and the last ones to leave. They're fast at everything they do, including mating and reproducing.
That's right. And I said this, I think, last week or 2 weeks ago, this has been the first, I guess, first split that I can remember where, I mean, the weather has just been horrible for duck hunting. Just like I said earlier, I mean, when you have, I mean, it's great for fishing, but I mean, for duck hunting, it is, I mean, you really need a wind. If a lot of guys out there haven't hunted a whole lot, don't understand it, man. We like clear days with wind. I mean, those birds decoy so much better when there's light on those decoys.
Plus, I think they don't have the detailed sight like they do with a gray liner, where they can see really good. The sun gets in their eyes a little bit, and I think they just respond to decoy. First thing they see is, man, look at all those ducks down there. We're coming in.
And yep.
They're not able to look it over as intense as they would if they had a high gray liner and no sun in their eyes, too.
That's exactly right.
People Plus, you don't get understand. That mirror effect off the water, too, with that gray liner. I think that spooks them a lot, too.
You do, and then you throw a mojo or spinning decoy in with a gray liner, and you've really got disaster.
Yeah, you'll run them off.
You will run them off. We don't, I've kind of gotten away from, have totally gotten away from the spinning decoys and all that. I really think it, to me, it, it, uh, you know, it, it really, it hurts to me where we're hunting. It does, but a lot of people really like using them. But we don't a whole lot, but you throw that in with a gray liner, man. It's not a good recipe. you gotta watch your birds and see what kind of attitude. They have a different attitude every day. It's a different, you know, I mean, you got a different barometer, you got a different wind, you got different shadows every day. And you really have to, especially with the amount of birds that you're hunting right now, you really have to be ready to pivot anytime and make, you know, halftime adjustments.
Right.
You know, the best teams make halftime adjustments. You gotta, if it's not happening, man, you better figure things out real quick. So.
Yeah, I've been to many a hunt right in the middle of it. I've had to get out and rearrange my decoys.
That's make exactly
a smaller
right.
pocket, you know, tighten them up a little bit, or sometimes you have to loosen them up a lot. They respond differently every day, man. You never know.
Every day. Yeah, I had to do that 2 days ago. They're going to tell you. They're going to tell you what they want early. They're going to tell you, you know, a lot of times those birds before shooting time, you know, the ones that want a decoy before shoot time, they're telling you right there where most of the shooting's gonna happen. And when a lot of them are decoying 30 and 40 yards on the outside of the decoys, you go, oh shoot, better do something a little different right here and tidy some things up, you know. So we're gonna close her up today and I guess open it back up on December the 11th and then run January the 30th. And hopefully in that time that there will be a mass migration of waterfowl from now
until
then.
Maybe we'll get some good cold, hard northers and bring some more birds down to the coast during the split and get them relaxed and waiting for all you boys to jump out of the bushes and start slinging at them. On the 11th,
but we
I know
by
the 30th of January, you boys will be glad to wrap them up and be done for the year.
My wife can't wait till January 30th. By then, we're all comatose and not real good at conversation.
I'm telling you.
But we keep doing it every year. Just,
that's in your blood.
It's one of those things. It is.
Like fishing, man. You can't get away from it.
I can't imagine life without it. Really can't.
So. I know. Oh, well. All right, Bink. Yeah. If somebody wants to come down and get with you after the split, stay in your lodge and do some hunting or fishing, how do they get a hold of you, bud?
Yeah, just check us out, MatagordaSunriseLodge.com, or you can see us on Facebook or Instagram. We post every once in a while there. Call or text at 979-241-1705. And December's a great month. You know, next 2 weeks, we won't be duck hunting, but we'll be fishing. And I love December and January fishing. So
yeah, check it out on Facebook, Making Legends, one dead duck shot at a time.
We're trying. If you had noticed lately, with our we don't post dead fish pictures anymore. We're trying to change attitudes around here about that.
Yeah, so. That's going out of style anyway.
It really is, buddy. It really is.
Well, Bink, have a good shoot this morning. Get out of the marsh safe and get you a little break going here. Rest up and get ready for the big grind on the end of it.
Yep, that's what's going to happen. We'll talk to y'all later.
All right. Thank you, Bink. Have a good shoot, buddy. All right. That's Captain Bink Grimes down in Matagorda.
You can tell your old man you'll do some largemouth fishing in another town.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Just had a text from a listener wanting to know what kind of suppressor I used and our suppressors. Well, I've got a Silencer Co. Omni, and I use it. I've got one. I can use it on all my guns. I just change the flash hiders on them where it'll spin on, and it's from 22 caliber up to 30 caliber. So I can use it on my 308, use it on my 257 Weatherby Mag. I can use it on a 6.8 or 223s, you know, 5.56, and it a lot less expensive that way. Just have one for whatever gun you're going to hunt with. All right, let's go down to Rockport and check in with Tony Gonzalez. Tony, good morning. What's up?
Not much, Kevin. How are you?
Well, what's been going on down your way?
Not much. I came home on Tuesday.
Yeah?
Tuesday, went in for the holiday. Yeah, some bad news on the family. Lisa's dad passed away this week. So.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, thank you. So that was kind of a – everybody, whole family separated with COVID stuff, and then that happened, so she had to go see him. And so that put a damper on the hunting for the weekend. Figured she'd stay home with the family and stuff and be there for her. And we cooked us a nice turkey and stuff. Monday, I fished Monday. I had Joseph and his dad and his two boys, Joaquin and Julian. And they were fun kids. They were picking on the whole day. And, you know, bites were tough. You know, he was, Tony, I have two little boys, and we're looking for a lot of bites. So we're all looking for a lot of bites right now.
Yeah. You know, tough year. Place your order. We'll get to you next year.
Yeah, I'll do my best. So, you know, I took him, try to land some sand trout for him. And I did, you know, they ended up with like 10 sand trout and two keeper trout. Trout were about 16, 17 inches. And they had a couple of flounder in the mix. And it turned out okay. You know, like I said, it was nothing big, but just a bunch of bites of little kids. And they were kind of getting the cork thing. And I was picking on them a whole bunch. You know, I'm not right. They were laughing, you know, little boys. I have fun picking on them like that when they can handle it, you know. And I just always tell them that, you know, I'm just picking on you to make you better. We get it, you know. And if you hang out a little longer, who knows, I might let you drive the boat later. One of them here is getting kind of tired, you know. And you're doing good, buddy. It's tough. It's tough to hang in the whole day, and it's slow. And I understand you're a little boy. It's okay to lose interest, you know. But other than that, I'm going to go tinker my boat today out here and try to do do some white bass fishing and stuff around here for the month. Kind of hang out a little bit. Other than that, you know, I wanted to go deer hunting this week. You know, it would have been a nice week for that. The rain and coldness. I do like watching a whitetail come up to the feeder with big old globs of mud on his hooves. I always think that's kind of funny when they're walking with that on there. But,
right.
Other than that, when do you get to go?
Man, I don't know. I'm on standby right now. I'm waiting on a really good weather pattern with no moon and just one of them throw your gear in the truck and take off kind of deals, you know, and – you know, before I do my big Christmas trip, I always do for my birthday and everything.
Right.
During the rut. But I think it was December 1st. It was right after Thanksgiving last year when I shot that big six-pointer. I just watched a guy on TV pass up a seven-pointer. It looked as big as that six I shot, and he passed it up. It had huge main beams, good mass, and a G3 on his left beam to go with the two, and it made him a seven-pointer, and I can't believe he didn't shoot it. Man, that was a very nice deer. Old buck, too. Looked like he was 6 or 7 years old.
What shows that?
I guess he's hunting somewhere really good. Mm-hmm. I see that in South Texas. It's hitting the ground, too. I'll put it on the wall next to the six. That's pretty good. Pretty good buck he just passed up.
Yeah, I've seen some nice ones. There's one of my neighbors at the RV park. Actually, they didn't come this year. They got a little boy, a real nice family and stuff. The dad, he works with Halliburton. And that little boy, he shot a nice eight-pointer. I mean, I bet that sucker's about 6 years old. That was Sabinal.
Yeah.
Cute little kid. That deer's huge. He's just a little boy, too. But They're nice.
Blaine's grandson shot a nice eight the other day. An old deer, too. Needed to be shot.
Really?
It was a nice deer, yeah. 200-pounder.
And he's still whacking a bunch of quail? That just got
interest. It's stupid.
You know, and they do a hunt at that one of the public hunts at the Chaparral Ranch in Cotulla. And, you know, they only do like two a year. Then they got one coming up here at the end of December. I think you pay $10 to go on there. It's 20,000 acres.
Dang.
And, yeah, I mean, you have to check
$10.
In. You know, $10. You know, if you pay, you know, if you have that annual hunting permit, then you just show them that annual hunting permit. And then you're not allowed to clean any birds. They want you to bring every bird because they cut the wing off and send it to A&M or whatever and age them. And,
right.
But it's a neat deal, you know, because you'll see guys with their dogs and stuff. And there are times where I went by myself. Come back, had like one time I had four birds, and everybody's like, "You got more birds than everybody else, even with dogs." Like, really? I beat people with dogs? Like, yeah. I got lost that day. I don't know how many miles I walked, and got a ride back to my truck for some guys. They had seen me. You want to ride? No, I think my truck's right up there. You know, and I guess they drove about 10 miles or however far they, and they'd come back, and they're like, "No, buddy, we saw your truck. Your truck's way down there. Get in." And they gave me a ride back to my truck that day. But no, I mean, that's a neat place, you know, because like I said, it's 20,000 acres and you can do like, you know, like Blaine does, you know, just drive around till you see something. And that's the best call hunting, you know, that pattern that we could get on last year with Bill's kids and stuff is we were seeing a bunch by his barn. So that first hunt, we tried to just start walking in the morning, and we walked probably 3.5 miles, it seemed like, and got two birds. And that was the early morning. And then that afternoon hunt, the sun was high, and we were just driving with everybody just staring at the edge, you know, and you'd see a bird run back in there, get out, put the dogs out, and we'd get on a couple of coveys.
Yeah.
And, you know, something like that, you know, that's how we used to do it in Mexico too, back in college. His grandfather used to put sorghum, but he had sorghum on the stalk, you know, and he was like, and on all those intersections, y'all, I put that sorghum down there and all those quail are there, and don't drive up to the intersection of the fence, y'all creep up in there. And that's how we would do it. They'd run off, get in the truck, drive,
right.
There's a covey, get out and kind of flank them. Of course, know where your buddy's at, don't shoot your buddy. And but in Mexico it was real neat because it's like desert floor, you know. So that's everybody, I was like, over there, you know, it's like real fine sand, kind of desert floor. And of course, don't put your face down on top of a rattlesnake, but you could kneel down and put your cheek like on the floor and look, and you have about 6 inches of no growth. And then the bushes start growing. You can see them quail running. We get out like, go that way, go that way. They're running over there. And that was just old fun hunting in Mexico that way. But yeah, that's got my interest peaked on them quail going on this year. You can burn a lot of time driving around ranches like that and just
seeing
everything and stuff. And
Blaine does a lot of it.
And you come across stuff like that, mountain lions. You know, I remember one time we come across a mountain lion. Or it was a mom with like two or three kittens behind her. And we'd seen it, and it was a mile down that road. Look, and you saw that tail come up, and we both start fighting for that 30-30. Not that we could even hit it because it was so far down, but we were 18 years old. We didn't know any better. And it walks off, you know. I could have shot it. You should have let me at it. You know, all mad. We didn't get a chance at it. But
well, that's about this time last year when Lynn told me that incredible story about that mountain lion in the brush stalking him on the walk into the deer stand in the dark. That was pretty – I tell you, that was a hair-raising deal right there.
No, yeah, that could be spooky. You know, I had a spot over in Refugio, and it wasn't my stand, but I was allowed to go hunt only hogs off of it. You know, it was like, no, shoot a deer off of Kenny's stand. No, of course I won't. So I'd set that light up. I had one of them kill lights, so I'd go and set that light up. I had magnets on it, green LEDs, just click it onto the metal, turn it on, and I'd go hunt the other side of the ranch. And then at the end of my hunt, I would creep back, you know, at dark and just try to I'd have to walk about half a mile so I could see all the way down that Sendero, and it was up on a creek. And there'd be times where I'd be walking, and you feel like something's
stalking looking at you or stalking you. Yes. Yeah, that's not a good feeling.
And it's solid black, and you know you're by yourself. I had my walking sticks with me because if you didn't have shooting sticks, you could never keep a crosshairs on them if you're walking like that. But I'd get back and call Lisa. Oh yeah, I just went in there and that was kind of spooky. Please be careful. Yeah, I'm gonna go back out there about 30 more minutes and let it calm down and do it again. You're an idiot, you know. It's fun to scare yourself like that a little bit, you know.
Well, maybe.
Maybe. That's our life at Monty because he got treed by a big hog one time in Gonzales. So when he goes hunting, he'll pull up with the buggy and the lights on and everything. He tries to scare everything off before he gets into the stand. He's like, that's why you don't see nothing. He's like, well, I'm never going to be treed again. I've done that before. And just walk to your stand with your pistol in your hand. I always have mine in my hand, you know. But out there, there's some big hogs that I was talking to somebody about.
Don't think a hog, a big old boar hog, won't eat you, because they will.
Oh, yes, they will. No, they. There was one time when I got into a group of them. There must have been 20 of them, and I creeped down in there, and I went a lot further, and got my shooting sticks up, and I shot. When I shot, they went every direction. Some ran at me, some ran away from me, and I had hogs all over me at that point, you know. This is probably not a good situation to put yourself in, Tony. But,
no, it's not. It's like poking a hornet's nest with a stick, man. That's never good.
No.
All right, Tony, I got to run, man. If somebody wants to come down and hook up with you, get the Rockport experience, how do they get a hold of you?
I'm sure you can reach me at 210-846-5083. You can go online at CaptainTGIF.com. I'll abbreviate Captain. And any fishing this month and stuff, I want you to be able to throw some lures or maybe get in the water. And we're going to put that bait stuff down for the rest of the year. So
no doubt. All right, brother. Well, Tony, have a good one. And sorry about your family loss. And I'll check in with you next week, bud.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Evan.
Later, man. All right. That's Captain Tony Gonzalez. Now let's go down to Freeport and let's hook up with Captain Jeff Naylor. I just call him Naylum. Naylum, what's up, buddy?
What's going on, Captain Mitch? How you doing?
Oh, not a lot, man.
Yeah, staying warm.
Yeah, it's just dreary weather. It's going to be nicer today. Yeah. We're going to get some sunshine. So.
Yeah, you know, and I got my fingers crossed for that. It's, yesterday morning was beautiful. I mean, it was good. That wind, or I say yesterday morning, yesterday, mid-afternoon anyways, it slicked off. The surf slicked off a little bit, and man, I started to make it out and kind of decided against it. And man, it didn't take long, though, that about 5-6 o'clock in the afternoon, I hear that wind comes again and just drizzly and nasty. So, and it's been, luckily we're like I said, the last couple weeks I've been doing work on the boat, putting the motors on, stuff like that. So I've kind of been caught inside there. And hadn't had to get out in that drizzly stuff. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good thing and a bad thing, I guess. I ain't been fishing much, but I don't think many people have. So I haven't missed a whole lot. So,
right.
I'm okay with that. I tell you what, I asked about that Rave console on that bay boat, but my mind has been going about, What would you rather have? Do you have electrical fly-by-wire, or do you have the cables on your motors?
Mine are cables.
Yours are cables.
Right now, I think whenever I switch over to new motor, they'll change out my binnacle and go by the fly-by stuff, which I'm fine with the wiring harness and the cables. I'm fine with it. I heard the new technology is a lot better, so.
it's
amazing. It's whatever Fernando and them want to do with me. I mean, they take such good care of me. I don't even ask and don't mention anything. They just do it, and I'm good to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know that, man. They're phenomenal. They have really pulled some tricks out of the bag, getting me these this new set. It's been a tough, tough year, you know, for getting motors in general. But,
yeah,
you know, especially, you know, the ones I get, they're really tough. So, you know, hats off to those guys who are doing that. And you're right, man. All they're going to do is put the best of the best on your boat or whatever fits your needs the best, you know. And,
right.
And I hear a lot of people kind of going back and forth with the cables. You know, of course, cables go out, but, I mean, just like, you know, keeping things, holes caulked in your boat, stuff like that. You know, as long as you keep it up to date, you know, greased up and all that kind of stuff, you know, they'll last just as long as anything else. But, you know, that fly-by-wire, you know, the electrical controls are just really neat and super responsive.
Yeah.
And from the installation part of things, I mean, golly, I literally, you know, I took those motors off and unplugged two Deutsch connectors inside the motor and one fuel line, and that was it. You know, it was so fluent. You know, this time I ended up actually putting some new battery cables in, and you know, so aside from the battery cable deal, I mean, it was just super quick, super easy. I mean, amazing. You know, of course, on triple and twin and stuff like that, you know, there's a huge benefit in that electrical.
Sure, there is.
You know, because of it, it'll allow you to sync all three motors together. You know, it'll computer control sync everything where you're not having to adjust, you know, three throttles or two throttles and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, really, really nice to have, you know. Super sweet. And every year I put them on, you know, a lot of these motor companies have come out with fantastic, you know, technologies and all that. And I don't have anything bad to say about any of them. But, man, I tell you, the one thing that people do tell me more than anything else with those cables is that, you know, that way there is some brands that, you know, on the fly-by-wire technology that if for some reason it goes out, that throttle is completely controlled by a computer, so you're almost stuck. You know,
mm-hmm.
And those Hondas, you know, they have those servos. So, you know, all it's doing is activating the servo to push engage the forward or engage the reverse.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. So if anything does happen, you can take that little servo off and physically engage it back and forth, which is pretty
right.
Neat stuff. But anyway, that's kind of been our week or my week anyways. And you know, I got to give some shout-outs to some of your great listeners. Man, I talked about that toy drive the last couple of weeks, and I've had multiple people come and drop off some toys here at the marina.
That's awesome.
Man, I can't be more proud. It is super awesome. Fantastic. So that'll be next weekend, and we're gearing up for that. Hopefully get all this motor stuff taken care of in time, but
no matter what you hear, Americans are just great people. They're caring, giving people by nature.
That's right.
What you hear.
Yeah, you bet. Absolutely believe that. You know, it's sad that we have to watch the news and stuff like that.
Yeah, I don't even look at that mess anymore. It's just doom and gloom. I like the our end of it. Nothing like the outdoor community.
That's right. You're absolutely right, man. When you call, they come. Yeah. I mean, it's a great community, that's for sure. And, you know, I mean, wouldn't want to have it any other way. Saying that
me
much.
Either. I'm with you, brother.
But, yeah. And, you know, Tony was talking about some of the public refuse and stuff like that, the hunt. I mean, my reports down here on the ducks is kind of like you're talking about, a little hit and miss.
Right.
My family down here right now, we got a beach house on the bay, and there's been a little school of hooded megangers floating around all over the docks and stuff. So you know, I'm not in the duck hunting mode right now, certainly not up next to the house, but, you know, there seems to be some ducks in the bay systems, but they do seem kind of hit or miss. I mean, those are, you know, days of the big, huge flocks of redheads. I haven't quite seen those yet, but but
I hadn't seen
if you come
a lot
down
of pictures
area,
of them. Usually the middle coast down that way, they get all the redheads. We used to get quite a few up on Trinity Bay, but I hadn't seen a lot this year.